I was reading just last night, I think it was, Wiersbe commented how that faith is not so much believing in spite of evidence, it is obeying in spite of consequence. So we are to be obeying and trust and obey. But there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. The world offers pleasure for a season. True joy comes when my heart is right with God and yours is right with God. And so I encourage you that direction, Revelation chapter 13. If you're first time in a long time, or just a reminder, we are in a series, God's Prophetic Schedule. I borrowed the outline from a pastor down in Beaufort, South Carolina, of a church of several thousand, but he's a very humble man, and he is a soul winner extraordinaire, and I borrowed his prophetic schedule. I may even have a couple of visual aids next week as we talk about the World Economic Forum for just a few moments. So I thought about, I've been trying to give you what fits into this category of prophetic schedule. Digital currency is supposed to, first phase, it was unreleased in May of 24. New York City's Jewish population headline under dark cloud as tensions rise. Concern over Iran's nuclear program. And it says in the tribulation time there'll be a great rising of the occult. Just saw given to me yesterday a picture of Fisher Price's My First Seance playset with a Ouija board. And so I have a picture of it. And so we talk about a world that has gone rejettising God. We should be praying from in wrath, remember mercy. I remember Mr. Reisinger saying that a couple years ago in a prayer. I thought, you know, that's exactly what we need. In wrath, remember mercy. In Revelation 13, verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. We are in the middle of the tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Always a bad plan, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given. Aren't you glad that word given? Power was given. Nothing happens outside God's sovereign control. He allows these things to happen. He has a purpose for these things. Given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And we might even include the United States of America there at the end. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, please let him hear. I added to please. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word to our hearts. May I say nothing amiss. Forgive me of sin. Empty me of self. And please help me to say what you'd have me to say this morning. If there are those who have yet to receive his personal Savior, may today be the day of salvation. And Lord, we who name your name, may we be about your business. The time seems so short before your return for your children. We have but to look around at any weekly giving world updates, and you can see how close it seems. And the world stage is set for a one world ruler to come in and to have his way and to encourage at first and then to persecute at the last. And so, Lord, help me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we are waiting for the rapture of the church. Is not prophetically driven. In other words, there's no prophecy has to happen before Christ comes back for his church. Who is the church? If you're a child of God, if you know Christ as personal Savior, you are part of the church. We're in the church age. So we're waiting for that. We're just not sure how long it will be. Perhaps today it will happen. And wouldn't that be wonderful? Today? I asked that question at the service on Friday. I said, if there was a train outside going to heaven today, would you want to get on it? And I'm telling you, there was not a lot of smiles. I love your head shakes. I said, we should all be, yeah, hello, yes, Pastor, we want to. If you're not like that, you don't have to be immature like me, but if you're not like that, wanting to go, you need to get your wanter changed. This is just a moment in time. Gary Messer last week was sitting back in our church family, and this week he's sitting in the heavenly family with his Savior. I want to be there. I want to go. Do you really want to go? Maybe more importantly, are you ready to go? This is the time of Jacob's trouble, the seven-year tribulation period. And there are three truths. They're on the back of your bulletin. I will try to get to all three this morning, Lord willing. Number one, the global religion will defy the God of heaven. There's your blank. Defy the God of heaven. Look at our verse 5. And there was given unto him that would be the beast a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. The first 42 months, he's been a peacemaker. He's going to throw off the peacemaker mantle or cape, if you would. And he's going to throw that off, and he's going to be the persecutor of these last 42 months. Tribulation period, 7 years in length. It is the time, I believe, specifically for Israel to receive Christ as their Messiah. That's one of the greatest purposes of the tribulation period. Jesus said right in the middle, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Right in the middle of the 3.5 year period, there's been this covenant with Israel now. Can you not see how it could happen so quickly? The Jews in New York City, probably the greatest singular outside of Jerusalem collection of Jews in the world, and you are now getting nervous. There's been persecution of the Jews, and Columbia University is closing it. The rabbi said, don't go to classes, Jewish people. Been arrest across America this past week of the Palestinian uprising against the Jewish people. Someone comes in and says, listen, Jews, you side with me, I'll take care of you. Where do I sign? And remember, most Jews today are not Bible-believing Jews in regard of Christ as the Messiah, so they're looking for preservation. Do you not see how quickly that could happen? Just from this day, today, it could happen overnight. It could happen overnight. So you need to be ready. The Antichrist will claim to be God. Now, the Bible is consistent. For example, if you took the Book of Mormon, the Book of Mormon has, first of all, no fulfilled prophecy. Second, the Book of Mormon and the Bible cannot both be true, because the Book of Mormon says Jesus will be born in Jerusalem. The Bible is clear that Christ will be born in Bethlehem. And thirdly, there's been actually over 1,000 contradictions from the first edition of the Book of Mormon in 1830 to the seventh edition alive today. Or in print today, not alive today, in print today. So we find then that our Bible, we fail to grasp the significance of God speaking to us through his word. And I don't have to worry about whether it's right or not. It's always right. It's always been right. It'll always be right. And you must put yourself under the authority of God's word. Our church has done that. Christ is Christ's church. I'm just the under shepherd, and his word needs to be our authority in your home, in our church, etc. Now, the Bible uses this term. As you're turning to Daniel, now you'll need to have your dialing fingers ready, please. Daniel and Revelation, especially. Look at Daniel 12:7. The Bible speaks so clearly about things. Daniel speaks so clearly about things. Only the Bible has fulfilled prophecy, speaks prophetically, accurately. Daniel 12:7. Look what it says here for us, if you would. There's this 3.5 year. Where does this 3.5 years come from? Well, let's look and see where we find it. Daniel 12:7 says for us here, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, 1 year, times 2 years and a half, 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. This last 3.5 years, the people are going to scatter. Turn back to 7:25. 7:25, actually 7:23. 7:23 of Daniel. 7:23, speaking of the kingdom and the person. 7:23, then said he, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Clearly, he has a leash that's 3.5 years long. This, when the Antichrist takes over his persecution period, this is the time, I believe personally, of the Great Tribulation. Now, some would call all 7 years the Great Tribulation. I typically, and I would certainly not argue over it, but the last part is certainly the great tribulation time. If you want to call all of it great tribulation, that is fine and dandy with me. But 42 months, 1260 days, he will remove his peace persona and he will be persecuting the Jews and the Christians. That is the beast. Says back in the, hold your finger there in Daniel 11:36. Now 11:36, please. And it says there, and there shall be given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Daniel 11:36. If you would please, Daniel 11:36. And the king shall do according to his will, and shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. That's our sovereign God. He's got it all planned out, and this beast is going to have a time where he's going to wreak havoc among the Christians and the Jewish people, speaking blasphemies against God. He's going to be a braggart. He's going to come with blasphemous words, be perhaps a great speaker, perhaps very charismatic in his personality and very smiley and oh, look at me, and I'm going to do all these things and just look up here, watch me, and that's what he's going to say. Well, that's just the opposite of me. If you could just like listen with your eyes closed the whole time, I'd be happy with that. Although I like your smiles and you're tracking with me with your eyes. But I certainly am not about people looking at me. It's interesting how God calls you to do things you never planned on doing or ever really wanted to do, but he changes your wanter, does he not? You may not want to teach Sunday school now, but 3 years from now, you've been reading the Bible, studying, praying, and maybe God will move. Pastor, could I teach in Bible school? He changes your wanter. So anyway, just don't give up hope. This 11 of Daniel, one of the most complete biographical sketches on the Antichrist. We not think usually of the Old Testament that way, but the second half of Daniel 11 presents this entire character for who he is. He has a big mouth, captures audiences. He will come with a passionate intellect. People likely, they'll sell their mothers for profit or into slavery and think they're doing God a service. Now you say, Pastor, how in the world could a world get to the point where they'll think that this human being is God? You have but to look at America the last few years. It's the upside down mind. Paul calls it in Romans 1 the reprobate mind. It's what was, we were once the harbingers of the backbone of America. Now I am the outside, I am the far right, I'm those who need to be silenced and put aside, and we just, if you just would go off the scene, we'll be happy with that. How does it go from here to there? How do we go from honoring our children and respecting them and respecting life to let them change their gender if they want to? We'll support it and pay for it. How do we go to that? It's the upside down mind. How can the Antichrist be considered God? Well, he comes back to life in the middle of tribulation time. Well, God, I haven't seen God lately, but he's right here. I think I'll trust in this one right here. It's not that far of a reach from where we stand today to this right here, honestly. That's why you and I have got to be centered on the book and the God of the book. If you turn over to Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24, the power that he has in Matthew 24. Matter of fact, Jesus makes an astounding statement here in 24. This is it's the Olivet Discourse, not the Sermon on the Mount. That was a little bit earlier. 24:22. I think the first half of the tribulation ends at 15, and now we're in the second half of the tribulation period. And look what it says in 24:22. And except those days should be shortened, that is the 3.5 years, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that it were possible they shall deceive the very elect. They're going to be very creative and very believable, if you would. And the people of the world are going to sign on for following the Antichrist. Christ says they're going to have this power and authority that people follow. Back over to our text, please. Revelation 13. Now we're up to verse 6, if you would please. Back to 13, verse 6. John the Revelator, one of his five books of the New Testament that he penned through the Holy Spirit's inspiration, one of eight New Testament human authors God used to pen Scripture, and he opened his mouth with blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. This man of sin has really the mouth of hell, if you would. When he speaks Hades, hell speaks blasphemy, means to say something that is against something that is holy. You take something that is holy and you speak of it as evil. That's when you say what Christ has done is just evil. That's blasphemy against God. When you say something bad about evil, about that which is holy, to blaspheme is one of the aspects of this global economy. We've been worshiping the creation for quite some time, by the way. Do you know that? We're worshiping evolution. We're worshiping the creation. We're worshiping this false narrative. By the way, evolution remains yet a theory. When's the last time you hear of a current evolutionary theory? It's always evolution's true. Just mark it down. Don't say anything about it because it's the way it is. That everything happened through a big bang. I'm telling you, there's going to be a big bang. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 that the earth's going to melt with a great noise, a fervent heat, and there'll be a new heaven, a new earth. So we put evolution in, we put God out, prayer out, Bible reading out, those kind of things out. We put evolutionary in, and evolutionary thought, and progressive ideology. We have a critical theory in the schools, et cetera, many schools, and so we have all those things. God's out. It's no wonder where we are today. It's no wonder. So we in the 70s, we had the immorality and sensuality. Did we repent? No. So then God gave us over to phase two in Romans, homosexuality. Have we repented of that? No, just the opposite. We promoted homosexuality. A man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman. And it's okay now, according to the man's law. It's still wrong in God's law. So we didn't repent of that. So now where we are, we're changing the gender of our children and we're promoting, etc. Do you see where we've gone? It's a mind, the upside down mind of what is right is now wrong, and what is wrong is now celebrated and promoted. Now I'm telling you, we need to pray for those caught up in these sins. You need to pray for them, and you need not to be obnoxious, arrogant. You need to be praying for and graciously share the truth, what God has said. Yeah. Graciously. No room, I don't think, ever for obnoxiousness and arrogance in your witnessing. It's a great, here's what the Bible says. Can I just share with you what God has said? And what God has done for you. Has God done something for you? He has. And no one can dispute your personal testimony. So you're going to blaspheme against God here in the middle of the tribulation period. Verse 6, again, if you would there, please. And he opened his mouth with blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He's going to use the horrors of the tribulation to bring God is going to use the horrors of the tribulation period to bring the Jewish people as a nation to him, and they will look on whom they have pierced, and they will weep when he comes back at the revelation of Christ. At the end of the tribulation period, he's going to come back all the way to the earth. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 4:30, when thou art in tribulation, all these things are come upon thee. Zechariah, if you want to turn to Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 10, look what it says here. Zechariah looks down through the corridors of time. Zechariah, next to last book in the Old Testament, 39 books, 32 human authors. And we have the minor prophets because they all fit on one scroll. Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They're going to mourn. Precisely what Christ taught in the Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel. He reminds us that when Jesus came into Jerusalem on the 173,880th day of Daniel's prophecy, he goes in on the triumphant entry. Here I am, receive me. And they say, no, we're not. They reject Christ, he says in Matthew 23. We want to turn back over to Matthew 23 for a moment. 37. Matthew 23:37. Oh, Jerusalem. Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Would not. As predicted by Daniel, it happened in 70 AD. the people of the prince that shall come ransacked Israel, Jerusalem in 70 AD. Behold, 38, your house is left unto you desolate. I think it was 1 million Jews who lost their lives in 70 AD. And since that point in time, now there was the Bar Kokhba rebellion about 135 AD. But since that point in time, the Jews have been scattered. Only until 1948 are now they a nation again. And there's a great horde of people in the world that would like to eliminate them and never have a nation, period. The goal is of the anti-Semitic movement worldwide often is complete eradication, not simply put them in a... No, it's smaller, and they will never compromise. Oh, we'll agree to that, and as soon as you agree to it, oh, we don't believe in that anymore. And they want to simply eliminate Israel. Why? Because Satan hates the Jewish person, people. 39. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. By the way, the triumph entry, chapter 21. That's past. What he's saying now, you're not going to see me till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and the Messiah comes back to rule and to reign. The nation as a whole, I don't believe every single Jew, but the nation as a whole will say, Jesus is our Messiah, the Messiah. It took him 7 long years, the 70th week of Daniel, 7 years of tribulation, persecution galore, but finally they come to their, I want to say, their spiritual senses. Jesus is the Messiah. And they receive him. And they're going to weep. And they're going to mourn. The rapture of the church is for all true Christians, for believers. It could not happen. It can happen any moment. But the second coming cannot happen until the Jews say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So when the Antichrist steps on the scene and commits the abomination of desolation halfway into the tribulation and the rebuilt Jewish temple, I believe rebuilt in rebellion, like making himself out to be God or ignorance, we might say rebuilt in ignorance, the destruction and misery is going to be ramped up. It's going to be like all Hades is let loose on the earth. And look at the end of verse 6, back over to Revelation 13, 6, please, if you can get back over there. Maybe I'll put a little mark there in Revelation 13 as we're jumping around some. But the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible, so that's why we're looking at all these verses, so that you can see where Pastor gets that from. 13:6. At the end, he's blaspheming them that dwell in heaven. Them that already, they're already in heaven, so he's blaspheming. What's it be like? Perhaps something like this. Oh, just look at those Christians who didn't follow me. Look what happened to them. If you don't follow me, you'll make, and he's going to make fun of those who are already evidently lost their heads and are in heaven. He's blaspheming their name. So number one, the global religion will defy the God of heaven. Two, the global religion will destroy the saints of God. Destroy the saints of God. Now, when the word saints appears in Scripture, you have to make sure what is the context, because there are, in Psalms, Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. So there's the Lord's saints in the Old Testament, the Psalms. There's the church age saints. There's the tribulation saints. And there'll be millennial saints. So there's the most thing you don't want to be is an ain't. You want to be a saint or an ain't. You want to be an ain't. You want to be a saint of some kind. And right now, if you get saved, you're a church age saint. It's not something we're going to put up on the, when you pass on, we're going to find a place to put you and make a statue of you and pick a, or a, whatever, icon of you and put it on the wall. No, you are a Bible-believing Christian. You're a saint. I have to admit, I've seen some who don't act like saints, but they yet, if they trusted Christ, they still are his children, saints. Verse 7, 13:7, I digressed. I've got my moment. I got to keep right on task. And it was given unto him to make war. This is with the saints. We think it's bad now. We've not seen anything yet. And to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is the Antichrist, I believe, personally, and dwelt by Satan himself on this last 3.5 years. Certainly guided meticulously by the Satan, because Satan has wanted one thing. Worship. Worship. That's what he asked Jesus. If he had anything in the world, just fall down and worship me. I'll give you all these things. That's what he wants. And he's going to get it here through the Antichrist at this point in time. We find then in verse 6, in the case that Satan cannot harm the glorified saints, in verse 6, cannot harm them because they're already in heaven. He goes after those who are not sealed with those 144,000 Jews who cannot be killed. We mentioned in verse chapter 7, 104, we call them witnesses. It doesn't say witnesses exactly, but I believe that's what they're going to be doing. 144,000 Jews. Dr. Brage says you could throw an atomic bomb on them during this age and they would not die. God's chosen one. And the two witnesses there in Revelation 11. Possibly Moses, Elijah, John the Baptist, someone like that. Possibly those are going to be, the two witnesses are going to be indispensable until God's done with them and he allows the beast to kill them. 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. During the tribulation time, you've got 144,000 Jewish young men who are be serving the Lord, have the mark upon them in some capacity, and they cannot be killed, and they're going to share the gospel. Huge revival, I believe, of both Jews and Gentiles during the tribulation time. All the world hear the gospel. So what we have not done as a church, evidently during the tribulation time, they will accomplish where all will hear the gospel in some capacity. Even the two witnesses are free from the beast until he is allowed to kill them. They lay in the street for 3.5 days, and then they are raptured up. If you're a mid-tribulation rapturist, you believe right there in Revelation 11, when the two go up, the church goes up. If you are a mid-tribulation rapturist, there's not that many that I've met like that. We still can have fellowship if you believe that way. I told someone, was it Mr. Lauderdale, and I think it was Jeremy, were standing in the over next door. I said, I know what Gary's going to say to me the very first thing in heaven. Told you. Told you. That's what he's going to say. He'd probably be right. But we find that these saints are in heaven. Look at 6:1 of Revelation, 6:11 of Revelation, if you would there, please. John has already spoken about these. 6:11 of Revelation. He says here, and white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little while, a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed, as they were, should be fulfilled. The tribulation saints who are dying or have died, and how have they been killed? Chapter 20, verse 4. You've heard me mention the guillotine before. 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The beast is going to say to the critic, you won't renounce Jesus? Offered their head or a sword or something like that. You're not going to renounce? You're not going to follow me? Offered their head. And this, by the way, there are worse things, I said before, than dying. Worse things than dying. It's renouncing the Savior. By the way, can you just imagine, absent from the body, present with the Lord? This is as worse as it gets, bad as it gets for the believer. We're going to the place to be with God for eternity. They're going to have robes. I trust you have a white robe waiting for you in glory. If you receive Christ as Savior, I believe you'll have it in some capacity. Now, what are the bodies like in the intermediate heaven? Randy Alcorn has 21 points on that in his book about heaven. I thought it was quite insightful. But you must have some type of body to put a robe on. You're not simply a disembodied spirit. The Bible says we'll know as we are known in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. So after we die, we will be in heaven in some type of body, but not in our new resurrected body. If you hear someone say, well, so-and-so is up there in heaven dancing around his brand new body. That's not so, because the Bible says we get our new bodies when he comes back for the church. We get that we're changed in a moment into that everlasting body. Even Moses and Elijah, I think, are recognizable. We know they're recognizable, but they're not in their new bodies yet. Flesh and blood shall not, what? Inherit the kingdom of God. So we're going to have something to hang your robe on. So some type of tangible body there. The Bible says in 6:9 of Revelation, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. That word is martyria, something like that in Greek. We get our English word martyr. They were martyrs for the faith. They confessed Christ and they lost their lives. I wonder, this morning a lunatic, which is not so far off base here in America anymore, someone, maybe not a lunatic, but a zealot, comes in with a gun and puts it to your head, reject Christ or die on the spot. Now I trust you would say, pull the trigger. I would ask Jeremy, and we'd try to hog tie that guy down real quick without getting either of us hurt. If that doesn't work, then go ahead. I'm just going to heaven. You can only last so long anyway. You don't have, would you want everlasting earthly life in the body you're in now? No. I want to go to heaven and get a different body and then get that new body when he comes back for his church, all because of his grace. Back over to our text, 13:7. Maybe you've not left it there yet. 13:7 of Revelation. By the way, it is the revelation. Do you see how it the revelation of Jesus Christ? That's where we're going. That's the whole thing of the letter. My wife, we used to write letters when we were dating, and in the summer of 84, we were dating, and I was in Kentucky, and she was in New Jersey, and we'd write 6 days a week, and we're waiting to see, you know, all that information there, and I want to hear, I love you, and she probably wanted to hear, I love you. I hope I said it often enough. I've never said it often enough, but I hope I at least said it. But the whole thing was, we had a relationship when we're going to get married in December of 84. 40 years is coming December. Getting married. Married. We're getting married. We're the bride of Christ, are we not? He is the bridegroom, and we're waiting for him. It's the revelation of our Savior. That's what this book is about. Can't wait. Thirdly, but on your third gear, we're hitting third gear, third number, is the global religion will delude the masses on earth. Verse 7. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over kindreds and tongues and nations. He will have succeed in total world domination for a time. You read in Daniel, however, that there are some who don't agree with him, and toward the end of the tribulation, they're going to try to come and fight against him. Read it for yourself in the prophecies of Daniel. But you find he's going to bedazzle the crowds. Possibly through a one-world digital currency. That he's going to say, you know, if you don't follow along, no money to you. And we're going to absorb all your savings. You're going to get a penny on the dollar for all the savings you've worked your life for. We're absorbing that. And you're going to be, if you don't fall in line with us, you don't eat, you don't do nothing. Certainly it's possible. All kindreds. And verse 8. Even if we're a superpower or a medium power or a small power, it says there, over all kindreds and tongues and nations, one nation under a false God. Can you not see that as a slogan? We are one nation under God. I love that part of our pledge. One nation under, he's not going to say false God. He's going to say he claims to be God. One nation. He may take the very same phrase, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice, who will all fall into line with me. The beast is great. Can you not see that happening? All that dwell upon the earth. 11 times in verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That refers to 11 times in Scripture, in Revelation, to those who are, they are TLO, people. This life only. This life only. That's what they're living for, is this life only. Whose names, now here's the very sad part, are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The unbeliever who worships the Antichrist, the nominal Christian who takes the mark of the beast, you're doomed. They are doomed. People today who are just on the fringes of the church and not truly born again, they're going to sign on, and they're going to be safe for 7 years perhaps, and then be condemned for eternity. Because they sign on with him. The names of the believers are written from the foundation of the world. Now, the song I like to say this morning, there's a new name written down in glory. Can I tell you, though, according to that verse, my life, my name's been written down before the foundation of the world. Amen. Well, Pastor, how do I know my name's there? If your name is there, you're going to become a Christian, or you are a Christian, or you're... It's not like you're between. Now, I'm not going to get you confused now. You are either a child of God or you're not. If your name is written down on that Lamb's Book of Life, you are going to be a believer or are a believer. Pastor, how do I know? If you're not sure today, get it settled. Trust him as your personal Savior today. So there's no doubt, no question. That's a deep theological thing we're not going to consider even further, much further than that. But the Bible says... What does that do, though? Does it mean that everything's all constricted and everything's all decided for us? No, it just means God's omniscient and almighty and sovereign over We have the choice. We have the choice. He's not going to force you to go to heaven. By the way, we would say amen to that because there's a lot of people who live in this world who would not want to go to be to heaven. I can think of many, and you can as well. We have to repent. If you don't know Christ, repent and receive him today and have your name pushed, or maybe it's a check mark. Timothy Scott Wright, 6 years of age, Sayersville, Kentucky, Methodist Church, in the pew. Check. Trusted Christ as Savior. He's good to go. My name, though, was written in before the foundation of the world. How does it work? It says also, did you see what the rest of that verse said? Not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is not unconcerned about the plight of the people that he created. He's not unconcerned. It wasn't like, oh no, Adam followed Eve and Eve took the fruit and said, oh no, what are we going to? No. Jesus said before he even created the world, I'll go. I will go. And every single idea, possibility, mechanization of saving your ornery, ugly soul, they thought through them in a moment's time. The only way that really works is for me to come and become one of the man and to die for you and me. Oh, what love. What love. And if you go to hell, you will have spurned the greatest love we could ever know. He made you, and he wants to save you. He's your creator, and he also wants to be your redeemer. And if he is your redeemer, we should say praise the Lord for what he's done for us. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for your patience this morning. Perhaps this morning you are here, and you are unsure of your condition with Christ. The idea of a Lamb's Book of Life where your name has to be in to be a Christian, and how does all that work? I'm just not sure, but I know I'm not sure I'm even a child of God. Well, then you get that settled today. The Bible is clear. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's admit that you're a sinner, knowing it that you have sinned. B, believing he died on the cross, was buried, and was gloriously raised by the power of God. And C, confess your sin, repent. Lord, I am a sinner. I repent of my sin. And call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By grace through faith, make that decision. Perhaps you need to be baptized. Make a public profession. Become part of our church family. I don't know what the need is. But if there's a need, we encourage you to respond. Heavenly Father, next few moments during the invitation time, we thank you for your word, the challenge of your word. Thank you, Lord, I believe you saved us as Christians from the wrath to come. What we talked about, the Antichrist, we'll be in heaven enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb. During that time, you are so gracious to us. We are so undeserving. So, Lord, we want to praise you and worship you. So, Lord, if you've spoken to hearts, may they respond. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.